Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining me. My guest this week, Stephen Benton. He is from, is it Petoskey? Is that where you're from?
Petoskey.
Petoskey, Michigan, in lower Michigan, the northern part of lower Michigan. I get a lot of people from that area, Stephen, that I talk to about, well, my show is about some different things. Some of it could be weird or strange or just things that are different ideas. Now, today we're going to talk to a feng shui. Do you say feng shui or feng shui?
Feng shui.
So it's, even though it's spelled F-E-N-G, it's pronounced feng.
Yeah, it's like fungus. Okay. Feng shui.
Feng shui expert. He's been doing this for at least, what, 10 years now?
10 years now.
How did you ever get started? First of all, where are you from originally?
I'm from Petoskey. I was born in Detroit, and my folks moved north when I was about 3 years old, moved to a little town called East Jordan, lived there for a couple years, and then we moved to Petoskey. I got interested in feng shui when I started reading some books. I was interested in feng shui when some concepts were introduced when I lived in Hawaii, on the island of Kauai. Mm. And I remember conversations about the home being like a giant, where the giant's head would be positioned away from the front door and the feet toward the door and the body and the different corners of the home. And I started thinking about these concepts, and then later, when I moved back to Michigan, started checking into some books about feng shui, and little by little, I read more and more and got interested, and then took a training in 1999, 2000 with David Kennedy. He's the author of two different books on feng shui, and he's in Berkeley, California, so I went through a mentorship for feng shui at that point.
TJ. So that's where you got started on all of this. You've been doing it roughly for 10 years now. Would you say that you were brought up in a family that was, because it's kind of an open thought, or would you say this is more of an ancient teaching that's been around for a long time?
I would say it's a very ancient teaching. My dad was a Presbyterian minister. I don't think his mind was necessarily drawn to this type of thing, but he's a very open-minded person, so I think he's receptive. I think it's a very ancient wisdom, and I think a lot of ancient wisdom is just coming back because many of us lost touch with things that are more natural, earth-like, you know, become more technologically focused, and that's kind of...
We're going back to a simpler time and understanding of things that have been around probably for thousands of years, maybe got buried away for a while. Now, what is it about feng shui? Now, that's working with energy, isn't it?
Working with energy. It's working with all sorts of things. It's working with your own thoughts. It's working with your environment. It's realizing that the environment is an opportunity to broadcast particular messages out to the universe, the opportunity to include beauty in the environment for calming and peace and inspiration.
Can it help in healing, too?
Sure. Yeah, the more the energy flows in a living space, the better the energy flows in the person's life and in their body. The home or the office or the business is like a microcosm of the macrocosm. The universe enfolds us as do our homes, as do our physical body temples. And when the home, which is like a temple, is fine-tuned, clean, organized, when the elements are in harmony, earth, water, wood, metal, all these elements have to interact. And when they're out of balance, just like when our body's elements are out of balance, mm-hmm. we experience disharmony. So feng shui is like a way to fine-tune the energy of the home or the business space, or any space for that matter, just like you might fine-tune your body through exercise, rest, diet, and so forth.
So by doing that, you can have greater peace and harmony, but also maybe prosperity, all those different types of things?
Sure, Yeah, in feng shui, prosperity is symbolized with flowing water, and therefore water features like fountains are real popular things to include in the space. You know, colors are also very popular, different colors in different areas to help stimulate the different elements. You know, so, like red for fire, blue for water, black for water, green for wood, white or gold or silver for the metallic tones, yellows, browns for the earth tones.
I read a book about feng shui. It was just a small one, but it was more of a Chinese. Is that like the original teaching of feng shui?
I didn't understand your question, TJ.
I read a book, a small feng shui book, and it was, I don't know, it's just called the Small Feng Shui Book, and it was basically about the Chinese understanding or traditions or beliefs dating back thousands of years. Is that kind of how it got originated?
Yeah, well, it originates from the I Ching, which is an ancient book of Chinese thought, divination book, and the Book of Changes, as it's known. And feng shui really comes from the Book of Changes, and it's a way to improve what's termed as earth luck. Astrology is the art of improving your heavenly luck, which are the influences of the planets that look down upon us and influence us. But feng shui is how to improve your luck here on earth through the living spaces that influence your energy and your psychology and emotions and so forth.
So we can actually, you're saying we can actually, I mean, it's not really luck, is it? It's actually changing the vibration around us.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Luck is just a kind of old colloquial or cultural term that has been used. It's not out of our control. We have influence in that sphere. And feng shui says, you know, here are some ways that you can have influence in terms of improving, you know, your energy and experiences.
Okay. You know, we're going to take a break here in just a moment. I'm losing you just a little bit of Stephen. So I don't know if we have to make a change here in just a moment. But for some reason, you're dropping off a little bit towards the end.
All right. Well, let's see what we can do here to get the volume back. Is that any better?
That sounds a little bit better. Now, you and I were talking about, just for the fun of it, because you mentioned something about ghosts or spirits. You believe in those as well, right?
Absolutely. I've had some interesting experiences with spirit.
You have. And yeah. I kind of asked you the question before we did this interview about, could the energy in your home maybe be, I know that's the individual, but also it seems like spirits go to certain locations and they like, people say corners, they like a corner of the ceiling, or they like dark places or damp places. So it only makes sense to me that perhaps the feng shui energy within your home could either attract or maybe repel them. Is that possible?
I think that's absolutely spot on. I think that's really true, TJ. the space has a direct influence on the energy, not only of oneself, but of the spirits that might be around. And if a person's already receptive psychologically, emotionally, to having different spirits interact with them, then they're probably going to have an environment that's familiar to those spirits, or that's conducive to allowing them to have interaction with humans. If a person has died in a space, and they, chances are they may not know that they've passed away, the next occupants or the current occupants may not be aware of their presence, but that spirit might just continue to stay in that space and interact there like nothing's happened. So,
you had an experience you said you were going to tell me about. One in the hallway? A spirit in a hallway?
Yeah, I was renting an office space downtown Petoskey. It was an old funeral home, stone funeral home, and it had been transitioned to an attorney's office, and I think it was a real estate office, and I had a massage therapy office there as well. And I remember walking down the long corridor to the restroom a couple of different times. At the end of the corridor, I felt a very strong feeling of a spirit. Presence. It was unmistakable. My hair would stand up on end, get goosebumps, and felt a very strong energy there. And at one time, I went down to the end of the hallway, and I had a little conversation with what I perceived in my mind's eye to be the spirit. And what I saw through my mind's eye was this older gentleman who was probably in his maybe 60s, wearing some suspenders, suit coat, some pants, dressed in like maybe the 1920 kind of garb.
Okay.
And didn't seem like he was frightening or didn't seem like he was angry. Just seemed like he was kind of unaware that he was dead. And I had a brief conversation with him and said, hey, you know what? I hope it's okay that I have this office space down the hall. I don't mean to be a threat or to be a problem. You know, I certainly don't want to be here if it's going to be an imposition to you. But if it's okay for you and that I'm having this office space here, I'd like to stay here. And then I also included the idea that, you know, if you weren't aware of it, I don't know if you know this, but you're dead. And, you know, because I heard that some spirits actually don't.
Right.
They pass
exactly.
over, you know, it's oddly as it may sound. You know,
right.
You think you know, but
right.
you don't. And so had that conversation with him. I said, maybe you'd like to go into the light, you know. And we had that brief conversation. I was as loving and compassionate as possible.
Now, when you say you had a conversation, it really was kind of one-sided. You didn't go, oh, really? You think I look dead? He didn't respond back to you, did he? No.
Right. No, I didn't get the sense that he was responding.
Okay.
But it wasn't really a conversation. It was just me talking to the spirit.
Okay.
And then I went in the bathroom, used the bathroom, went back to the office. And I think a day or two elapsed before I had to come back to the office again. And when I did finally go back down that hallway, there was absolutely no sense of that spiritual vibration. I didn't have any goosebumps, no sense of anything there at the end of the hallway, you know, waiting for me. And I think that he got the message and he moved on into the light. So I think that's very, very powerful, because there are people that are aware that they have a spirit or a number
right,
of spirits.
Right. I'm supposed to go look at one tomorrow. We're going to take a break. And in just a moment, we'll continue talking to my guest, Stephen Benton out of Petoskey, talking about feng shui. We'll also give you his website. What is that real quickly, David? Our Stephen?
The website is fengshuihomes.net, fengshuihomes.net.
Okay. We'll be back in just a moment.
Thank you, TJ.
You know, I have to thank Jill Cornwell for both of my guests the last couple of weeks. Tom LaFramboy, she was able to lead me in his direction, as well as Stephen Benton. And it's just neat how you make these connections. And it seems like in some areas there's just more of these type of folks talking about these type of things. Not just that, but also more weird, paranormal, strange, unknown things going on, it seems like, in some areas. Maybe it goes on all over the world, I don't know. I got to believe it does. But it's just kind of neat, because it seems like there's a lot of stuff coming from northern lower Michigan. And there's a lot of stuff here in the UP going on. And maybe wherever you're listening, maybe you have a lot of that. Feel free to send me some of that information if you want. You can keep it discreet. You don't have to tell me who you are. You can send me an email at tj2@up.net. tj2@up.net. Or you can just drop something in the shout box. And thanks for listening. I will also post some information on how to contact Stephen Benton in this site.
It's out there, out there, out there, out
there. Thanks for joining me. My name is TJ Ryan. You're listening to Out There. Stephen Benton from Petoskey, Michigan. He is a feng shuiist. What would your title be?
Feng shui, it sounds good. That's a new one. Feng shui practitioner is usually what I go by.
Do they call you a doctor? Do they call you a doctor at all? Are you like a doctor? No?
Some of my friends in play, yeah.
So what? Jesting. Now, I really don't know that much about it, but what is it, just off the, you know, about a person's home, what are some of the things you look for that you want to create? How do you create good energy?
Well, one of the major things that I look for is during consultation process, whether a client chooses a telephone consultation or a home consultation, they'll send me a floor plan. That's one of the first steps in the process. And I'll review the floor plan. It doesn't have to be a to-scale sketch or by any means, but it should include the major things, the rooms, what they're used for, bathrooms, kitchens, laundry room, garage, and also the compass directions. You know, I'd like to know where the front door points.
And why is that? Why is it important with that, with those kind of things?
Yeah, the compass directions are important when considering feng shui from the perspective of the compass school, which is a Chinese way of orienting the space so that the person based on their birth year, the year that they were born, receives energy from the most auspicious directions. So there's two groups, there are two groups of people. There's East Group and West Group. And West Group people are north, northeast, northwest, west, and southwest oriented. East Group people are northeast, southeast, and south oriented. So those are the eight cardinal directions, and they're split up. Four go to the East Group and four go to the West. So if you're born a man, if he was born in 1960, I do a calculation to determine whether he's East or West. It may be different for a woman, different okay. calculation.
All right.
And based on the birth year, then what I would determine is whether, first off, the front door is facing an energy or a direction that would bring in positive energy, because the whole idea is that the front door is like the mouth. It receives the energy from the universe, from the environment, and it digests that energy and circulates it throughout the environment and then nurtures or nourishes the occupants with that particular vibration.
Hmm. And so I thought the energy would be all around us, but you're saying it's coming in through a certain direction.
Well, the energy is all around us, that's true. But the way our homes are oriented, where the front door, the compass school considers the direction that the front door faces as indicating the quality or type or flavor of energy that is introduced into the structure. Okay, so the type of energy that comes into a structure that's facing south would be quite different than the type of energy that's introduced from a structure that points northwest. Or southeast.
And this energy that you say, this type, there's really no good or bad energy. It's just you're trying to work
right.
with the energy the best way you can, you're saying, right?
Yeah. It's no good or bad energy. Just some energies are better for some people than other energies.
Mm, okay.
That's the difference. And then the other thing, beyond the front door, is the positioning of the beds. Those are some of the most critical things. Ideally, the person wants to not only position the bed so that it's in accordance with the architecture, meaning they want to be in a position in the bedroom that is powerful, architecturally speaking, based on how the room is set up, but also they want to have the head of the bed pointing toward one of their most auspicious directions, the belief being that the cosmic energy comes in through the crown, enters through the brain, into the spine, radiates through all the different nerves, down the legs, and then out the feet. And the direction that the person's head points indicates the type of energy that that person is going to receive while sleeping.
Mm.
Now, some people are more receptive or more sensitive to the energies than others. Some people don't notice much of a change when they have their bed positioned in one direction as opposed to another.
Mm.
But other people notice quite a difference. And feng shui postulates the idea that the energy, even though it can't necessarily be felt by everyone, is definitely having an influence. So the recommendation is to position oneself, particularly while sleeping, to face one's best directions.
Now, could these energies affect your health?
Yeah, absolutely. They could have. The whole idea in compass feng shui is that if a person's head is pointing toward their best directions, then they're going to have health, they're going to have prosperity, good relationships, because they're going to be nurtured or nourished with energies that are in alignment or in agreement with their own vibration based on the year they were born.
Now, Stephen, let me ask you this. Doesn't a lot of it have to do with your own feeling and, you know, how you look at things in life and your own attitude? Isn't that the majority of how things are going to be?
I think that there is a huge majority of influence that's based on our own internal beliefs.
Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No doubt about it.
But this can,
I think that...
I was just going to say, this can add to it or subtract to it for a little bit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that the feng shui is not meant to take away from our own abilities to create independently of anything external to us. You know, truly, you know, we have the ability to create reality within us. Feng shui is trying to add to that ability by using the environment in the most beneficial way.
Taking advantage. Okay, now you mentioned,
yes.
I was born in 1960. I don't know if this helps you. January 4th, 1960.
Uh-huh.
There is an entrance to our house that, we got two entrances, and they both actually face east.
Okay.
One entrance is actually where the living room is, and the other one is on like a little porch or on a deck, and it comes into a little open spot and then comes into the house. My bed, my head is facing to the north. My feet are pointing to the south.
Okay.
Now, does that help you in any way? What can you tell me? Can you tell me anything about that?
What day were you born in 1960?
January 4th.
January 4th.
I got it right here. It says, TJ has foot fungus. No, maybe not.
January 4th. Okay, well, the lunar calendar in the Chinese system, believe it or not, the new year does not start on January 1st. So you were born January, did you say 4th?
That is correct.
Okay, January 4th. That was actually before, technically in the Chinese calendar, you were born in 1959.
Mm.
Because 1959 extended through January 27th, 1960. So how we would do this is we'd take 1959, 9 plus 5, the last two digits, is 14, which equals 5. And then for a man, you take 10, and you subtracted that. You subtract the common denominator of 5, which yields 5. So you're a West group.
I'm a West group.
Your best directions are the westerly directions.
So I should face my bed where my head is facing to the west.
Well, that would be one direction. There's three others as well, northeast, northwest, and southwest.
Mm.
Let's see, number 5, let's see, I just want to confirm this for 1959. Yeah, yeah, 5 is your number,
mm-hmm.
And your most auspicious direction would be northeast, to point your head northeast.
Northeast.
So your health direction would be west. Your romance direction would be northwest to strengthen the love relationship.
Okay.
And your personal development direction for working on yourself and self-knowledge would be southwest.
Hmm.
East would not necessarily be a direction that a feng shui practitioner would want you to have your head pointing. I think you said you had your...
It points
your
north.
Head going north. Yeah. Yeah. Is it due north for sure?
Well, probably not exactly. It might even be a little bit northwest.
Okay, well, northwest would be much better for, and if it's northwest, that would
Now, when I get home, Stephen, and I start rearranging the bed, and my wife says, what the heck are you doing?
Well, the other concern, too, would be to find out what your wife's birthday would be and what her best directions are and see if they're compatible.
Yeah, what if they're not? Then you got to have separate beds, or...
No, not necessarily.
But I've got to sleep at the bottom of the bed, and she sleeps at the top.
That could be interesting.
I'm just going to say, we're going to take a break. Stephen Benton talking about feng shui, and we'll be back in just a moment on Out There.
Out there.
Well, next week we'll get back to some Out There stuff. As I talked to Frank Fascino Jr., and we're going to talk about his appearance on Monster Quest, and he was not happy with the way that turned out. 60 hours of interviewing and shots and video and days, 6.5 hours alone, he spent being interviewed. And that's what they showed last week. And if you listened to my shows earlier, you know the story. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to go through and do the whole Flatwoods. You know, there's more evidence on Flatwoods than there probably is any other UFO. And the thing is, because all these eyewitnesses all over the country, because it happened so long ago, a lot of them have died off. Nobody's hardly heard of it. So Frank goes on Monster Quest trying to present this, and they try to turn it into a lizard monster story and something to do with the Star Child. Well, he's not real happy about that. So we're going to present two parts, Frank Fascino Jr., the Flatwoods Monster, what the Flatwoods Monster really is, and also what happened on Monster Quest, which was disappointing, to say the least, which that's maybe why they're no longer on the air. So that's coming up next week. By the way, you found this program at outthere.podbean.com. And thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Jill Cornwell, and I'm a telepathic animal communicator. And you're listening to Out There with TJ Ryan.
My guest is Stephen Benton from Petoskey. He is a feng shui practitioner. And when you ask, well, what does that mean? Basically dealing with energy in around yourself, not just for your home, though, right? It's your environment completely, right?
Absolutely. It's tapping into the energy of the environment and using it to harness more benefit, more luck, more improved goodness in all areas of your life.
Now, do you also, you told me that you do some other things as well. Are you like a massage therapist as well?
I do massage therapy, and I'm a writer. I'm working on a book, a couple of different books on spiritual mantras as well, trying to get those published and on the market.
So good. I can hardly wait. Once you do, we can talk about your books as well. Now, we were going to also, you said there's a lot to do with mantras, but we're not going to probably go into that this time because that's a separate category by itself. But mantras are basically just something you tell yourself, and so you can basically get yourself to believe something. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's a good way to say it, TJ. It's a mantra comes from the Sanskrit word mantra, which man means mind and tra means tool, so it's a mind tool. And specifically, it's a mind tool to focus the mind on something particular. And it's like you say, it's like an affirmation, like an encapsulated affirmation.
And the reason you're doing that is because, is there like a separation between your consciousness and yourself? And you have to bridge that? Is that part of it, Stephen?
That's a good way to say it. I think that we all have an unconscious mind, and we have a conscious mind, and the mantras would be more from our unconscious mind, like dreams that are trying to make their way into consciousness through the dream time. Mantras are spiritual tools that we can use. They're from our unconscious mind or our personal unconscious mind that are wanting to make their way into our lives to help us in particular areas that we may need strength.
Okay, now, between the breaks, I didn't want to give this out during the show because I don't know how my wife would feel about this, but I told you when my wife was born and the date and everything like that, and how does that work? Now, do I have to move the bed, or do I have to sleep in one corner of the room?
No, you guys are really blessed. You know, you both have the same birth numbers, your birth number 5. So your directions and your wife's directions are synonymous.
No kidding. Northwest.
Yeah.
Northwest is...
Well, actually, I stand corrected. Hers are a little different than yours, but they're both westerly directions. Now, her best direction is southwest. Yours is northeast.
Oh.
Now, if she did sleep with her head pointing toward the foot of the bed toward the southwest, and you slept with your head going to northeast, that would be absolutely perfect. But since northeast is still a great direction for her, it's her personal development direction.
Okay, so
now
we're gonna have to get bunk beds. Yeah, go ahead.
you could have your head going west, which would be your health direction, and west for her would be her romance direction. So it'd be good for your health and good for her to be nurturing and loving, and that would be a great thing.
I like that. Maybe when she gets home from work, because she works later, the bed will be facing west, and she'll go, "What'd you do?" I don't know.
That's right. We'll just try that.
So now you also, I'm guessing that you do the things that you do with the feng shui, but you probably have encountered many different things in your life, some different things that have opened up your mind. Do you have any, I always try to ask people, some bizarre incidents. I know you said you had a ghost in the hall, but have you had other things happen to you as well, Stephen?
Well, you know, I've had a few bizarre things, and I'll get to that in just a second. But you know, one of the most formative things I had happen to me was I lived in Hawaii for 3 years on the island of Kauai, and there I would attend services at the Hindu temple, a beautiful Hindu temple in which there was a guru there, Gurudeva Sivaya Subramunia Swami. Quite a mouthful. And he was just a fantastic individual. He's since passed over, but I had a really, really great opportunity to meet and speak with him on numerous occasions. And he is very down-to-earth, very accessible, and genuine. And that was a really formative and great experience. I was in my early 20s and learned a lot about meditation, visualization, how a Hindu temple operates, what they do with their services, and participated in numerous services when it was open to the public on Sunday mornings, and really had a great experience with that. And I think a lot of people would benefit from going to different religious services, because there's so much to learn from different religions and different perspectives that's very refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was one of the most formative experiences I've had. That got me very interested in spirituality and meditation, and also Hinduism and mantras. They do a lot of chanting.
Mm-hmm.
Their mantra is Om Namah Shivaya. For that temple, it was Om Namah Sivaya, because they're from South India. But the same difference. It's I surrender to the divine within is what that mantra means.
Mm.
Om Namah Shivaya. I surrender to the divine within.
Do you say that? Do you say that a lot?
Yeah, I do. And in fact, I've kind of gotten away from it, but I've gotten back into chanting it a little bit more. It's one of my favorite mantras. It's very easy to remember. It's not a long mantra. Om Namah Shivaya. It's very beautiful and sensual and soft. And I've had some pretty incredible experiences using that mantra.
Such as?
So. Well, I remember one time driving over to Sheboygan, which is on the east side of Michigan from Petoskey. It takes about an hour and a quarter. And right around Indian River, I started singing that mantra quite strongly. And I started feeling all this energy rising up my spine. Well, I realized that that's the Kundalini,
mm-hmm.
which is spiritual evolutionary energy that resides at everyone's base of their spine, and through different mantras or through yoga or meditation, pranayama, which is yogic breathing, this evolutionary force can be awakened. So I continue to chant. I'm feeling this energy. It's almost like an electric energy being plugged into the spine. It's very pleasurable, very relaxing, and it's continually rising up the spine, which is interesting. And as I chant more strongly and continue to do so, the vibration gets stronger. And it reaches a crescendo where it comes up to the base of the skull and kind of can't pass any further than that. At that point, my neck becomes fairly immobilized. I'm unable to turn it very far left or right. And here I am driving.
Right.
Thank goodness I didn't get into an accident or anything. I keep chanting, and it was very pleasurable, very blissful. Almost like I'd been plugged into this current of blissful energy.
Mm.
That's the best way I can describe it. As I approached my friend's home, the Kundalini began to drop back down again, and things began to normalize. But things were still pretty blissed out when I walked into his door and said, "Hi, Richard." And he was like, "Wow, how are things going? You look different." And so I described my experience to him. And mantras have a very interesting effect depending on the vibration of the syllables. As you speak, so it is. You know, and a mantra is a way to speak a reality into being. And that experience, I didn't realize it when I was using the mantra, but that experience was a way to speak that reality of the Kundalini into existence.
Hmm.
Yeah, pretty amazing stuff. And that Kundalini is a spiritual evolutionary power that resides within all of us, that's waiting to be roused, it's waiting to be awakened. Mantras are a way to awaken it.
That's one way to tap into it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And there's probably more than one way to do that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. I've heard about this before, and I'm glad you went down that path, because we could talk about many, many things, you know.
Yeah.
We're just about out of time. Stephen Benton, Petoskey, Michigan. If you want to find out, what is your website again, if you don't mind?
The website is www.fengshuihomes.net. That's FengShuiHomes.net, FengShuiHomes.net.
Now, it's not just about homes, is it?
No, it's businesses, it's apartments, condominiums, it's any structure that you happen to be living in or working out of. It's also how to improve your life using mantras during a typical consultation. I will give out mantras to people that want to have enhanced prosperity, enhanced loving relationship, enhanced healing if they have health issues.
Is there a mantra that you would like to pass on to anybody that's listening? Would you do something like that? Is there one that you could, maybe before we take off, is there one that you'd like to give out?
Sure. Well, there's a lot of economic stress on the planet, and there's a number of mantras that are helpful to call forth abundance. There's a Bija sound mantra that those who practice transcendental meditation may be familiar with or may have run across in their meditation practices. And that mantra has two different variations. It's for calling on the goddess Lakshmi, which is the Hindu goddess of prosperity, love, and beauty. Mm-hmm. And her mantra has two different variations. The first variation is Shreem, S-H-R-E-E-M, mm-hmm. Shreem, 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 Shreem. The idea being you would sing it, that would be the most potent. You could repeat it silently, or you could just speak it, Shreem, Shreem, Shreem. The second variation is the same, you're chanting to the same goddess, Lakshmi, but it's a tantric pronunciation, and this one is Shring. It's like ring with an S-H on it, mm-hmm. S-H-R-I-N-G. Shring, 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 Shring. Or you could blend the two. Shreem, Shring, Shreem, Shring. Those are very potent mantras for prosperity. Another mantra for prosperity would be a Hebrew mantra, Shamione Jehovah Jireh. Shamione Jehovah Jireh. Most of listeners will recognize Jehovah, and some will recognize Jireh. Jehovah, he causes to become is a literal translation. Jehovah is a Hebrew name for creator. It's a simplification of the Tetragrammaton, the sacred word Yahweh. Mm-hmm. Jireh means provider. So Jehovah Jireh is creator, the provider. Shamione means I receive the blessings of creator. Mm. I receive the blessings of creator. So the whole mantra, when you put it together, Shamione Jehovah Jireh, Shamione Jehovah Jireh, is I receive the blessings of creator Jehovah, the provider Jireh. Shamione Jehovah Jireh, I receive the blessings of Creator, the Provider. Shamione Jehovah Jireh. Shamione Jehovah Jireh. Shamione Jehovah Jireh. Shamione Jehovah Jireh. And that's a beautiful thing if you want to get into a practice where you sing these mantras daily. It's just a very nice thing to allow your voice, the expression, the creativity, and you're calling forth the vibration of the Creator and the Jehovah Jireh mantra.
I think it's really neat about all that, Stephen, too, is that, you know, you talked about the Hindu, but you also talked about the Jehovah beliefs, which would, a lot of people would say would be with the Old Testament. So you're not just kind of the Jewish belief as well as the Hindu belief. It's not just one religion, one belief. Maybe there's some you can draw from all different types of beliefs, right?
Yeah, I think that's really valid. I think that's what we really need is a a perspective here on Earth that's embracing and looking out and saying, hey, that's valid. And it may not be exactly how I do it, but that's valid for these people, and that's okay. And, you know, I appreciate that, you know, and that's something that we desperately need, I think, on planet Earth, is that type of acceptance.
And accept each other and not judge each other and not believe that your belief is supreme to someone else's.
Yeah, well said, TJ.
Well, on that note, Stephen Benton of Petoskey, Michigan, we have to wrap it up, but I appreciate you being on the show. Perhaps we can do this again and maybe talk some more about mantras and whatever you'd like to talk about.
Thank you, TJ. I appreciate the time very much.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.